How many of you like hiking? Like going hiking, taking a walk, going for a hike? Yeah, me too. I did a little of that when I was in California. So we took a little walk once up this hill. The hill was called Mount Whitney. Yeah, it's the tallest place in the continental United States. It's about 14,500 feet above sea level. The highest place in the contiguous 48 states. And ironically, it's only a 134-mile drive from the lowest point in the United States. That's Badwater. And so so we decided to make this trip to do this hike. And you have to plan this very carefully because they don't just let anybody up on the mountain. You have to get permits just to walk up there. And so if you're up there at 11,000 feet and they come by, you know, a ranger comes by and asks you, do you have your permit? You have to pull out this piece of paper and show him that, yes, you did get clearance to go up there. And if you're going to stay above the 8,000 foot level, you have to get permission to sleep overnight there. It is about a year and a half, the last time I checked, to get to go there. And some times of the year are even longer, can be two or more years that you have to apply in advance if you're going to stay above that level, because everybody plans their trip at a certain time of the month. And of course, during certain months of the year. And you might think, well, it's obvious why they would plan it during certain months of the year, because you're much less likely to get snow. Why at a certain time of the month? That's because you plan your trip on the full moon. Because if you're starting from the 8,000 foot level, it's a 22-mile walk to the top and back. And so We stayed at the 8,000 foot, so we didn't have to get the permit, and we slept in our car. We got up to start at 3 a.m. At 3 a.m., we decided that's the time to start. So you want it on a full moon so that you could see the trail without having to carry a flashlight, because flashlights are heavy. What are you talking about? A few ounces? That's all it takes. When you're doing this trip, a few ounces make a big difference. And so we started out at 3 a.m. from 8,000 foot, where we spent the night, right? Well, half the night, until 3 a.m. anyway. We had started this trip a long, long time before that, though. We made a great deal of preparation in order to make this trip. This is not something you just go, let's walk up to the top of Mount Whitney this weekend. Great idea, let's go. you just don't go at it like that. It takes quite a bit of planning and preparation. You need to make sure you have good equipment. You want to make sure you have everything packed down as tight as you can. And everything is as small and light as possible. You make sure you have good food, that you've got good conditioning, and you go with good people. Because there are lots of little trails that go here and there, and if you really want to make it to the top and you've never been before, you need somebody to go with you who knows what they're doing. And so we got all of these things together. I think about my trip up Mount Whitney much like our walk with Christ. It's not something that you do in a day or decide, hey, Sabbath's coming, let's get ready and go to church and we'll be with God for a day. You know, this is something that takes preparation. Time where you're going to be with God is not something you just happen upon. You want to be prepared for this. Your life as you go through with the Lord, you want it to be a life that's being prepared. As we've talked about for the last few weeks, Daniel's life was much like that. Let's take a look again at the book of Daniel. Daniel had made a lot of preparations. His parents had made a lot of preparations. He was not just suddenly one day thrown into a terrible situation and decided on that afternoon, I think I'll figure out how to follow God now. He had made that decision long ago. Daniel chapter 1, are you with me? Looking at Daniel chapter 1. We're going to spend some time in Daniel chapter 1, so please open your Bibles. Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Daniel chapter 1. Young men, as the king's man there had described them, in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And so this fellow Daniel and his companions were not men who had just been neglected in their youth. Their parents had worked with them. They were clear on what was going on. They'd had a good upbringing. Verse 12 says, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables, or pulse in some of your versions, vegetables to eat and water to drink. Daniel knew what was going to be best for him. He didn't just wake up that morning and decide that. His parents had worked with him. Moms out there had worked with those boys and given them an understanding. They knew what was not good too. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's, in some versions it'll say meat. In others you might see the word delicacies. You know, Oreos and stuff. Sorry. Did I say that? And he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Oh, but he would only drink a little, you know, in moderation. Then it'd be okay, right? You know, I still hear that today. Whew. Good thing I never hear it from church members. Whew. That wouldn't be good, would it? Because Daniel's clear here. Daniel's very clear. He would not defile himself with these things. It clouds the brain. It ruins the body. It's not good. And Daniel knew this. Daniel knew this from his growing up years, from his mother's knee. Daniel had gotten what was good and knew from that. He had understood both good and bad from his mother, mostly, I expect. He had these relationship with God. Why did he purpose in his heart to do this thing? Why did he have that thought in his mind that he wouldn't do that? Because if you're going to defile yourself, you must know what God wants. Clearly, Daniel had been trained in the ways of God. And so Daniel had made preparation before the storm broke on him. He had made preparations. Brothers and sisters, a storm is coming. You probably know it better as the time of trouble. Things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. There'll be testing times for you as God's people especially. Will you cave to what the world is asking you to do? Or will you have a commitment that lasts? Are you purposing in your heart today, choosing what is good today, not hearing all of this mumbo jumbo about it's good in moderation, and you're purposing in your heart today not to be defiled, so that when the storm breaks, when the time of trouble comes in on God's people, and we are left to make decisions for God on our own, not with the help of pastors or elders or anybody else, will you have that preparation necessary? I made the preparation going up Whitney. You wouldn't consider going up Whitney without getting ready for it. You take water, you take stuff with you in case you have trouble. You're ready. Are we ready? Are we packing our packs for the time of trouble? Are we getting ready? Are we listening to the Lord's warnings? And so, as you think about that, as you start out on a trip like that, you know there's going to be disaster waiting for you sometimes. But even if there isn't disaster, there's always little things, you know, stuff that happens. You know those shoes you bought? Yeah, they rub right there, you know? And it's like, I still have 10 more miles down this mountain. How am I going to do that? There's going to be blisters. There's going to be fatigue. You know, you might think to yourself, hey, I would just, you know, halfway up there, 5 miles, 5.5 miles up, because it's 22 miles round trip, 11 miles up. Halfway up there, 5.5 miles, I'm done. I'm cooked. Forget it. Truth was, is that it wasn't the up that was the bad part. Who'd have guessed? It's the down. It's the down. I don't know why, but it's the down that got me. And it got me right in my knees. My knees just killing me. It got to the point where it's like, should I call the helicopter? You know? This is bad. I'm not sure I can handle this. You never know what the weather's going to throw at you. You've got to be prepared for 90-degree weathers. After all, it's Southern California. Might be hot. The sun is a whole lot closer with a whole lot less air between you and it when you're at 10, 11, 12,000 feet, you know? Did you bring the sunscreen? Ooh, I knew I forgot something. Right? All of these kinds of things can happen. And then there's always the altitude. You can get all kinds of weird things happening because of altitude. Think about Daniel. Think about Daniel. Take a look again at Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and did what? Besieged it. Sometimes I wonder if we have a real clear idea of what life was like in a besieged city. In one place in the Bible, they talk about selling pigeon dung so people could eat it. Oh, yeah. I think we have no clue sometimes what it means to be in a besieged city. Daniel had serious difficulties. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with some of the articles of the house of God. Think about that for a minute. Your homeland is destroyed, the capital city invaded, burned, some of the stuff out of the temple. Wait, out of where? Out of the temple. How could stuff out of God's temple be taken? This was God's temple. He'd never let that happen, would he? Do you know there are Adventists who think they will never be lost because they're Adventist? They carry the card. They're good. Anytime I need to spend it, I just put it in. I got the card. For them, it's like a credit card. I just put it in there and I'm golden. I can spend it anywhere I go and the bill never comes to me. I can't be out of money. I still have a card. They carry the card. Can you imagine how shaken Daniel's faith was? Can we imagine how shaking it would be to be where people had said that this house would never fall? Can you imagine how much they would go back over some of those scriptures that said things like that David would never lack a man on the throne? Can we imagine how that would affect our faith? Can you imagine how much it will affect our faith when the shaking time comes to the Lakeland Church? Because we have promises that say this church will go through to the end, don't we? And we believe that, don't we? Then what about the scriptures that said that it would never happen to God's house? What happened there? How can we think that we won't be shaken like Daniel was? How can we think we won't be tested as the three Hebrew worthies that went into the oven? Who do we think we are? The end time people or something? Oh, that's right. We're end time. We don't have to worry about that, right? We need to think, folks, think. Take just a moment. Get out the magnifying glass of honesty. Put it up to your heart. Don't point it at the sun. Put it up to your heart and take a good long look for just a minute. And think about yourself. Take that lens of honesty and ask yourself, have I really made the preparations necessary to take this journey up the mountain? Am I ready to face that shaking? Am I ready for what Daniel went through? Could I stand it? Could my faith stand it? Would I remain true to God? Should I find that maybe there are some prophecies that I believed could not go wrong? And it looks like something happened. It appears that what I've always believed may not be fulfilled just the way I thought it would be. Are we ready for that? Could we handle that? Could we believe in God still if we saw somebody say, you may no longer worship in this building? Could we continue to seriously take this religion that we follow, this Seventh-day Adventist faith? Should you know that the pastor had already been arrested? Hey, wait, that doesn't sound good. That one of the elders had... No. what would we do? Would we still go to our windows three times a day and pray? There will be difficulties. There will be difficulties. Maybe one of the biggest difficulties so far is I got up the mountain. Dude, that was no problem. I didn't know I still had to come down and how bad that was going to be on my knees. I got up to the top. Woo! You know, top of the world and all that jazz, right? Maybe the toughest challenge, maybe the hardest thing we face, maybe the biggest shaking we face is that it's so easy right now. And we think, I'm cool. I'm okay. I'm good. I believe in God. This sermon's for somebody else. Maybe that's the hardest part. Or maybe it's the fear of the king. Verse 10. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would, I love this line, then you would endanger my head before the king. He wasn't just talking about a bad haircut. Right? Yeah. He was talking much more seriously than that, endangering his head. And so as we come to this, we've got to make preparation because the journey is going to be difficult. We've got to be ready. But there are incentives. God does have good things for us. In the Whitney trip, other people had done it, especially some of my friends, you know. They had done it, and it was like, dude, I can't let them get away with that and be able to brag that they had done it when I haven't yet, see? So, you know, I got to go do this. So they'd done it, so I have to. And when you get up there, there's nothing like being up there. It is so awesome to see from up there. And how about Daniel? Did Daniel have incentives? Had God preserved his life through this difficult time? Had God taken care of him, brought him where he needed to be? Did Daniel love the Lord? Absolutely. Daniel had all those things for him. He had friends around him that were going with him. Look around you. Look around you. All these people around you are people who want to do what the Lord wants them to do, just like you. We're on our way. We're on our journey together. All of us together working to grow the kingdom of the Lord, right? All of us doing these things. And finally, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20, we have the incentive of Jesus having given his life for us. What else could you want? He died for me. How can I do less than that for him? So we made the decision. We looked at the maps. We thought about the weather. We talked about the moonlight. We chose a date and we started up. We made that decision. We made it happen. We came to it. And Daniel, he had a lot of time to think. For some reason, the train that goes from Jerusalem to Babylon was busted. I'm not sure what happened, but it just was out of order. And the buses quit running at 11 that night. So, you know, he was just out of luck. He walked to Babylon. There's a little time to think about this. I'm like 22 miles. Yeah, try walking from Jerusalem to Babylon. That'd be a walk. And I don't think his hiking boots were all that good either. Something just tells me, you know, the hiking boots were just a little problematic there. And yet he made a decision. He made a decision. What does it say in verse 8? He, Daniel, purposed in his heart. Have you purposed in your heart that nothing is going to change your commitment to God? Nothing is going to change your commitment to God. Not the difficulties of the trip, not the easiness of the trip, not even if some of your friends decide to do things wrong. Other friends, not people around you here, you know, because everybody here is going to do exactly what you think they ought to be doing, right? So don't worry about them, but other of your friends might not do right, yeah? So as we think about this, have we decided to make sure that we are 100% given to God no matter what? Have you made that commitment? Are you ready for that shaking, for that difficult time? Daniel was rewarded for his faithfulness to God. Take a look at verse 17. Verse 17, he was true to God, and verse 17 says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God blessed them as they were faithful to him. God blessed. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we are tempted to do things that are, well, they're not wrong. They're just a little on the edge. You know how that is? We're tempted to do these things. Let me encourage you to stay true to God. He will bless as you stay true to him. Stay true to God. Keep that commitment. Daniel did. God blessed. And the same is true for us today. God has promised his Spirit, the latter rain, to refresh you, to make you able to go through that time of trouble. God will make a way. Some of us here have made it up to that 8,000 foot level. We're at that base camp, you know? And we've made that determination. Man, I'm going to follow God. The whole hike just about is in front of you, but you've made that commitment. Praise the Lord. Keep at it. Breathing that atmosphere up there helps to prepare you. Keep breathing it. Stay the course. Keep studying. There are others of us who are a little further along the way. We're at 10,000 or 12,000, or some of us are all the way up at 14,000 feet. We're just a little ways from the top. We can see it just up the way. And we're tempted sometimes to look back at these people that are down there and say, they don't know how to do this. They're going the wrong way. Look, they took the wrong path. Look at them down there. Let's not discourage those who are starting their journey. Let's encourage them. Keep on going. Come on. You're on the way. Keep it going. For those of us up there who are farther along, keep looking to the summit. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep going, keep going, keep going. God will sustain you in your journey. So if you go up there to Mount Whitney, you'll find there's a box up there. Little box. It's about this big. Little box. And in that box is a book. There's a book up there. That book has been changed out a whole bunch of times. And along with the book, you will find a bunch of stubby pencils, all of which the points are gone. So either take a pencil or a knife. All right? And you get to sign your name. You were there. So if you go to the place where there's a group that keeps track of this stuff, if you go to that group and you look back in the books, you'll find my name there. I made it to the top. I signed the book. And in one of those old books, you'll find my name. I want your names written in the books of heaven. I want you there. I want all of you there. We're on this road together. Some a little farther, some not so far. It's okay. We're all looking to Jesus on our way to heaven. Stay the course. Keep going. Keep going. Keep looking to Jesus. Make that commitment that nothing's going to turn you aside. Nothing's going to change your commitment. And as you go along, you might meet people that have given up and they're on their way down. Encourage them. Say, you can make it. Come on, I'll walk with you. We can do this. Help others along the trail. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. As I'm walking up Whitney, some guy's sitting along the line alongside. He's sitting on a rock. He's got his shoe off. He's looking at this spot on his foot. What happened? Blister. So I reach into my bag and I grab out some moleskin. You know moleskin? Moleskin? Anybody know moleskin? Come on. Yes, somebody knows moleskin. Good stuff, isn't it? Perfect stuff for blisters. I give the man some moleskin. I say, come on, man. We can do this. We can do it. You've had opportunities this week to hand out some moleskin coming up. This week, somebody's going to be sitting alongside the trail to heaven, and they're going to be whining about something. You have the opportunity to hand out some moleskin and say, come on, we can do this. The top's right up there. God's waiting for us. So this week, I encourage you on your trip up Mount Whitney with your own feet hot and your throat dry to hand out some moleskin, to encourage someone else along the way, to say, brother, sister, we can make it. We're almost there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us the words of Scripture. We thank you for the example of Daniel, who made good preparations, who considered the difficulties and made a commitment nonetheless to stick with Jesus. Father, we too have these opportunities. Help us to make preparations now. Help us to be making our way up this mountain. Help us, Father, to encourage others along the way. To hand out a little moleskin as we go along the way. Father, we thank you for these opportunities. We thank you for the people we will meet along the way. And we ask that we might make a difference for them, because we're all on that way to heaven. Because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.